Money isn't real. Doesn't matter. It only seems like it does.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is another episode of The Ruckus with Alex Himes. Today, I'm excited to do an interview with someone that I've been watching very closely on social media. This is a big influencer who's started his own page from the ground up, making waves on the scene, and that is Brent Marquardt. All right, Brett, how's it going, man? It's another day in paradise. I can't complain too much. But all right, so just to give some background for those who don't know who Brett is the founder, runner, owner of the Instagram channel Basketball Studios. Basketball Studios posts tons of up-to-date content regarding the NBA scene very quickly, very efficiently, and it's some of the nicest, cleanest, sleekest stuff I've seen, as you can see on the screen right now. Brett has done a phenomenal job growing this from the ground up. So let me ask you something first off, Brett. We want to get to know you a little bit. So tell the audience a little bit about yourself and who you are.
All right. So 3 years ago, I think it's February 20th or February 21st of 2016. I was 14 years old. Right now I'm 17. I was 5'2 at the time. Now I'm 6 foot. But whenever I was like 5'2, 5 feet tall, I realized I was not going to the NBA. So I needed another way to express my love for basketball, and I was like, I'm going to just test out to see what it's like to make graphics and what it's like to make some, you know, highlight videos with music behind it. And then I kind of just like fell in love with the whole entire media aspect of it. And I didn't know like Instagram could be so powerful at the same time too. Like, I didn't know that like you could really build something off of just a username and password, which I think is crazy to think of it now, but that's pretty much how I got started.
That's wild. 3 years ago, you started this channel, you said, right?
Yeah.
In a three-year time, where are you now in terms of followers?
So I'm at 49.2K, 49,200. I should be hitting 50K, you know, sometime, maybe within the next month. I'm not sure.
Damn.
But I think that'd be awesome to hit 50K on the anniversary date of 3 years. That might actually happen. I didn't think of that until now, but That could definitely be a possibility. But yeah, 49.2 right now, kind of just seeing where it takes me.
People, let me make something very clear. The power of social media, the power of the internet, is literally being shown in its fullest form right here by this man. He has started it from the ground up, done everything himself, and look what he's achieved, all right? Like, don't get me wrong. I try and consider myself someone that's not an expert, but knows kind of what they're doing, studying the behind-the-scenes stuff, but you are literally the prime example of what people can be doing. Honestly, you are the example of what Gary Vee talks about how people can take advantage of the internet, take advantage of what's right in front of them. So, like, before we continue, I just want to say congrats on that, because you've done a phenomenal job, like, enough to where I go out of my way every day to check out your page, see the content. I sometimes get my news from that. So it says a lot when you are a preferred source of people. And I hope that this keeps on going. Now, man, it's the truth. So let's start and actually talk about this major discussion, all right? For Basketball Studios and how you started the page, you gave us the background, you gave us the story. So what has it given you in terms of your interest and career path? Where do you see yourself going with this?
I'm kind of just like, I don't really have like a set like vision. Like, I don't have like an end goal. I kind of just want to see where it takes me. Just keep doing what I'm doing. And I always find ways to improve, obviously. But like, kind of just say, I think a lot of social media, if you guys are trying to start out, is getting connections or just knowing as 1,000%. Many people as possible. If you're on social media, I mean, look at the name. It's social media, social. Like, you're supposed to get yourself out there, and you're supposed to talk to different people. And you never know. Like, it's crazy to think that, like, there's a lot of older people that have such a huge stigma on social media, yet at the same time, I'm talking to somebody that's halfway across the country from me doing a basketball podcast. And we're both trying to grow off of it. Like, just the power of social media, I just think, new opportunities come whenever you least expect it. I can definitely say that for myself. Like, you never know when there's another opportunity to go grab. Like, you just kind of have to let it come.
That I couldn't have said it better myself, honestly. Like, we talked before actually starting this about, doing some collaborations in the future because you mentioned you might actually be out in my neck of the woods. But I mean, it just goes to show social media really does create this network beyond the in-person side of things. And it's just allowing so many people on top of the interactions that you have daily to make these crazy connections with people you would otherwise never ever see. Like, I'm 23 years old in Los Angeles. I went to school, of course, in Lexington, but you're all the way on the other side of the country, like you mentioned, and here we are still having these discussions. Like, it's phenomenal for me to see that we have this ability and that things that are common interests, like basketball, happen to be something that have brought us together at this table or over the phone and doing this interview.
Right.
So,
And I also think with kind of going with the whole power of social media thing, like I'm say like I met up with two people in New York. You guys might know Elliot Buster that run Hoops Nation and Dunk. Like if I 10 years ago, if I said that I was gonna go meet up with people halfway across the country to some random person, they'd be like, dude, like, that might be kind of dangerous, but whatever. But like
Yeah,
it's almost a
exactly.
norm in today's world. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts. I mean, our parents used to be like, don't talk to people on the internet. Like, my mom would throw a fit every time my sister went on AIM when it first came out back in like the late 90s, early 2000s, because you didn't know who you were talking to or communicating with. And here we are now where it's almost a necessity for business and for, creating content, which in a sense is business, to continue that and to thrive and actually grow it.
Right. I mean, it goes down to the DM.
If you, oh
That's
my
what we always
God.
say.
Oh my God.
It does, dude. No, DMs are the key to getting connections. Like, that's how we reached out to each other for the podcast. That's how you reach out to anybody to collab. Like, that's another tip, guys. If you guys are trying to get connections, DM whoever your idol is. You never know who's going to respond, who's going to give you a new opportunity. So.
Then let me ask you this. If you could give three tips to the audience, what would they be?
To like grow a social media,
Yes,
is
to grow
it?
their
All
content and
right.
grow their channels.
Well, for one, just know that like I have 49K in 3 years, but like at the same time, there's some accounts that have gotten 500K in 1 year. But you also have to think like it's a long-term game, so don't think of it as a short-term. Like, oh, for a month, I'm gonna see if I can get a million followers. Like, you have to be patient with it. It's all a patience game. And with and number two. In today's world with social media, it's so saturated, which means there's so many basketball accounts. There's so many Instagram accounts that people are following right now. If you're going to make one right now, you really have to separate yourself from everybody else. Where, say, in 2014, it wasn't so hard to be separating yourself from other people because not everybody was doing it. But now in
Exactly.
2019, everybody has a basketball account. Everybody has a voice. So how are you going to be different from everybody else? And three, I think, like, kind of like I said with the whole connection saying, DM people, talk. Like, it's social media. Like, reach out to people. You never know if this person could be your best friend if you DM them, another Instagram account.
It
And
says
I think
social in the
collaborations are
name.
amazing. Yeah, right. Social media. Don't tuck away and hide in a shell on social media if you're really trying to get somewhere. DM people, meet up with people, obviously if it's safe, blah blah blah. But I think now it's very easy to see if somebody's a reputable person on social media.
Yeah, you
Like,
can just stalk their account a little bit like everyone does, especially with the people they meet off Tinder.
right. Like, just get yourself out there. So I think that's like the best three things. And then there's obviously the whole metrics and stuff behind it. That's like post every day, post at the right time, captions, blah blah blah. But in order to actually like make it a long-term thing, I think those three tips are key.
Ladies and gentlemen, you heard the three tips from the man behind Basketball Studios, Brett Marquardt. All right, now we're actually going to jump into some NBA talk. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's get this started. So, who are your favorite teams currently? Or actually, I should say this, who is your favorite team and home team for you?
Okay, so there's it's kind of weird, which I think a lot of Derrick Rose fans could say this. So Derrick Rose is like my idol. That's my guy. There's a lot of like Kobe stans. There's a lot of people that follow LeBron a lot. Blah blah blah. I'm kind of like that with Derrick Rose. I was kind of a fan of him, and like I bandwagoned him whenever I was in fourth grade in like 2011. But like I think I root for the Timberwolves, which I kind of just root wherever Derrick Rose goes. So whenever he was on the Knicks, whenever he was on the Cavs, whenever he's on the Timberwolves, that's the team that I pretty much root for. It's wherever Derrick goes. But like, when Derek retires and all that, I'm a Chicago Bulls fan at heart. For one, my parents were Chicago Bulls fans. Chicago is like the closest city to me that has an NBA team. You could say Indiana or Memphis since I'm in St. Louis, but Chicago is always going to be that team at the end of the day. So I'd probably say I'm a Chicago Bulls fan, but I'm rooting for the Timberwolves right now because Derrick Rose is on there, if that makes sense.
I can't hate on that. Honestly, I've been on the record stating that I can't hate against a guy who's had such a terrible injury or injuries and is making a comeback like he is. Like, it's nothing short of one, inspirational, and two, I just love watching it because you have so many people who have talked so much smack for the last couple of years saying Derrick Rose is old, washed up, he should retire, you know, going around with the issues that he had when he was in Cleveland, being away from the team, just things like that. No one thought this guy would be able to make a comeback like he has. And for him to be doing what he's doing, being voting, being like a vote getter for the All-Star game after all these years, like, it's nothing short of amazing, and I can't help but root for the man. And it's also great to see that he's having these insane games and proving people wrong. I mean, no one thought this man would drop a 50-point game, right? Like, and look what he did.
I'm a Derrick Rose fan. Now, there's a lot of Derrick Rose fans on Instagram. I don't want to name names, but there's so many Derrick Rose accounts that, like, if you told him he was going to drop 70 at the season, they'd probably be like, yeah, probably. But if you told me personally, if you told Brett that Derrick Rose is going to score 50 points at the beginning of the season, I'd be like, eh, 35 is probably going to be as high.
Exactly.
That's what I would have said.
Yeah.
If you told me a 50-point night, whenever he's scoring on Rudy Gobert pretty much in the paint the whole entire night, I would not have believed that at all.
I would have said BS as well. I mean, just like if you told me that Terrence Ross would have had a 52-point game when he was with Toronto, hell right, or no.
Like, yeah, or like Mo Williams having like a 55-point night, like, it's just there's, and that game I think meant a lot more than just the average 50-point night. Like, that was like the main talk in NBA for 3 days straight. Like, usually, you know, now in today's NBA, Stephen Curry drops a 50-point night and we hear about it for 2 minutes and we're done. Derek dropped a 50-point night and that was in the news for a week. Like, it meant so much more to basketball. The NBA Twitter blew up. You know, there's the Dwayne Wade's, I think LeBron, Isaiah Thomas, like every NBA player tweeted out about Derrick Rose's 50-point night. It was so much more than basketball, in my opinion.
Everyone's rooting for this man. And that's the beauty of basketball. Like, you don't have to be a fan of the team. You don't have to be rooting for the team, but you can root for the dude that everyone knows deserves it. All right. Well, now that I know that you're a Chicago Bulls fan and you're also a Derrick Rose fan, which I very much respect, we got to move on to a couple of the latest topics. All right. Now, I got to ask you. The latest news and the biggest buzz that's been going on for the last couple of years. We all knew Anthony Davis was just giving the Pelicans time. Time to try and figure it out. He didn't want to be a bad guy. I get it. No one wants to be the guy who requests a trade because then you get vilified in the media by guys like myself or by any of the people on ESPN. But he finally has quote-unquote requested a trade, which the NBA has now cited him $50K for doing, for quote-unquote tampering, which, nope. I don't believe it. I think you want to trade, you make it clear, and you get out like Kyrie did.
Right.
But
yeah.
To you, we keep hearing about these rumors. Will he go to Boston? Will he go to Los Angeles? Now there's Toronto in the mix, San Antonio, all these places. Aside from where he ends up, do you think he gets traded before the deadline or at the end of the season?
I would probably say at the end of the season. I think New Orleans, it's kind of like how the Timberwolves were with Jimmy Butler. They just waited it out as long as possible. Like, come on, change your mind, change your mind, change your mind. Which I think Anthony Davis is pretty clear with them that he's not going to change his mind. But at the same time, I can see them being desperate. I mean, whatever. Who's selling tickets in New Orleans? Jrue Holiday's not selling tickets in New Orleans. They're getting all their money from Anthony Davis.
100%.
And you could almost say it's a steal that the guy's only getting paid $29 million a year. Like, he might be a $40 million a year player. So, I think he's going to be a free agent in the 2020 summer, isn't that right?
Yes.
All right, so I could just see them just waiting out the season. It doesn't seem like he's like going to turn into Kawhi like or Jimmy Butler saying, "I'm going to sit out this night because I just don't want to play." I think he's just saying, "Hey, I think he's helping out the Pelicans, if I have to be honest. What he's saying right
Agreed.
Now is, "I'm not going to re-sign. Go ahead and get somebody for me." I don't think he's trying to backstab them. I don't think he's all sour against the Pelicans. I think he's saying, look, if I'm going to be real right now, I'm not going to go to the media and say the BS line that, oh, man, I want to be here my whole career. No, I want to be traded. But at the same time, I'm fine if you guys get somebody for me. I don't want you guys just to be cold-handed and just get nobody in return if I leave in the offseason. I think he's just telling them, hey, I'm not coming back. get somebody in return, because New Orleans is not a free agent destination. If we kind of can just look at it objectively, nobody's going to go to New Orleans.
100%. I agree with you.
They need to get some young talent or some picks, because in order to land an all-star, that's not going to happen. Like, what all-star is really going to go to New Orleans? There's no other all-star there.
I couldn't have said it better myself. I mean, people I talk to have been saying, oh, he's going to get traded to the Lakers by the deadline. Oh, this, that, and these, and those. To me, it's like, no. All right? New Orleans is going to do what's best for the team, which is they're going to put on a table all the trades they have and maximize the value they get for Davis. The thing they have going for them is the guy's under contract till 2020. He can re-sign this summer, but he is under contract. So they have leverage here. And of course, you know,
I mean,
yeah,
they can wait it out. They can wait it out this season, and they can wait it out next season.
Yeah,
they really
exactly.
To.
They can prolong this as much as they want. And
yeah,
see, and that's the thing, because people say the Lakers are going to get him by the deadline, and it's like, no, they're not. The Pelicans. All right, I'm biased slightly because I'm a Celtics fan, but I do think that there is some merit in this, because every NBA analyst on ESPN and the majority of people agree that the Celtics have the best package to offer them in terms of now win players or win now players, long term players, and future assets. The Celtics can offer them guys in a sign and trade scenario like Terry Rozier, Jaylen Brown. They can offer a bunch of picks. I'm sure the only guy off the table for the Celtics is Jason Tatum. And this is, you know, barring this is the offseason move because of the Rose rule. So I think the Celtics have the best chance to land Anthony Davis. Even without including Jason Tatum, I still think that's the case. And that's why for the Pelicans, this is in their benefit to not make a move at the deadline. Because even if the Lakers say, oh, you know, you have this deal on the table where it's Kuzma, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart and Lonzo Ball and a couple of picks, they can still say, well, this summer the Celtics are going to offer us basically that and then some. So if you want the same trade, wait till the summer, we'll adjust it then, see how it is, and we'll make it a bidding war, which is in their best interest.
Yeah. I feel like, kind of just to go with the Lakers, there's been the whole post like, oh, would Alonzo, Brandon Ingram, Kuzma, and the pick be good?
No.
This is my theory. For one, they need a plan for after LeBron days.
100%.
And then, at the same time, I don't think – so there's four people that can possibly get traded. It's going to be Josh Hart, Kuzma, Ingram, Ball. I think it's going to be a guard and forward package. It's not going to be Ingram and Kuzma going, but it's not going to be Lonzo and Hart going. It's either going to be Hart and Ingram, Hart and Kuzma, Lonzo and Ingram, or Lonzo and Kuzma. It's going to be a guard forward package with a pick. Now, in my personal opinion, Josh Hart, Brandon Ingram, and maybe two first-round picks should go to New Orleans. I think they need to keep Lonzo, and they need to keep Kuzma, and those should be the untouchables for their young assets. I think those are the two guys that are going to be great post-LeBron era, because we're going to have a young playmaker, and we have a young scorer, where Josh Hart is just a catch-and-shoot player, and Brandon Ingram, I think, is just another Andrew Wiggins.
100%.
So
very overrated.
I would say Josh Hart, Brandon Ingram, two first-round picks. If that's not the deal, then the Lakers just need to – I think Kuzma is the most untouchable guy, in my personal opinion.
See, for me, I agree with you. Kuzma is the most untouchable. But if I'm New Orleans, I'm going to the Lakers and saying, if I don't get Lonzo, if I don't get Brandon Ingram, and, you know, whether it's Josh Hart or Kuzma, I push for Kuzma, you know, but if the Lakers are reluctant, I'll take Hart, I'll take Zubac, and I'll take a couple of picks. But I'm not taking anything less than three players, as well as at least 2 to 3 picks. Because in terms of picks, pick-wise, the Celtics technically have better picks. Now, mind you, we're talking about picks that they've acquired from other teams who have worse records. And they're also not going to be top 10 picks, most likely, given some of them are Sacramento, Memphis, and one is a Clipper pick, I'm pretty sure, and they have their own. But those are still valuable commodities because they will be higher than the Lakers picks, just because the Lakers are going to make the playoffs every year with LeBron in the lineup. And those teams that the Celtics have the picks of aren't slotted to necessarily make a playoff run or necessarily be contenders. So would I take the offer where I get 3 to 4 picks from the Celtics as well as two guards? And maybe if the Celtics are willing to throw in a guy like Aaron Baines, or maybe a sign and trade with Al Horford, which, mind you, I don't want to see Al Horford go. I like him on the Celtics. He's a perfect fit, and he's the perfect mold player. But if they're willing to get
Well, he's
some,
also old too. They
yeah.
need an old guy. They
Yeah,
need somebody at
exactly.
least like 25.
Yeah, exactly. And if they can run with that, I'm New Orleans. I go back to Los Angeles and say, you know, let's play this chess match right now. You're either going to give me X, Y, and Z plus one, two, and three in terms of picks, or I'm going to Boston, calling Danny Ainge, saying, yes, let's take that deal and move. Which is why I think the Pelicans should wait till the summer to move him, because if they're going to move him at the deadline, that signals one, an urgency to get out of him or to get him out of there, which also means they're not necessarily going to get the best package in return. And two, it means that they're giving in as opposed to waiting long term to actually accurately check out their situation. And besides,
Yeah, and
I heard this interview with Adrian Wojnarowski saying that the Celtics and the Pelicans could conceivably have a deal in the books by, you know, the what is it? By the draft, and they could just move on from there.
yeah, I personally think if I'm the Celtics, now I don't know, because there's going to be a lot of these sentimental NBA fans and maybe Boston fans are going to get mad at me. Gordon Hayward has to be traded.
Oh, 100%. No, I'm
You,
with you.
you're paying the guy $30 million. I'm sorry, I know he got injured. My man can barely get 10 points. Like, just you're paying him $30 million to be a nice, like, ball movement guy.
Hey,
Like,
okay, look, I will put it like this. The moment that he went down with an injury, it was rough. But the moment that Jason Tatum showed us who he is, that made Gordon Hayward the odd man out on the Celtics roster. The
right, and
moment.
I think my perfect deal. Now, I don't know how you know the whole logistics work with money and all that. I don't know everybody's salaries, but if we go Jaylen Brown, Gordon Hayward, and maybe a couple picks for Anthony Davis, that's probably the deal I would do. Why? Because now Jason Tatum gets more shots, Kyrie gets more shots. Now we have Anthony Davis that can get the ball more. It's more important about that the main guys get all the shots, because I think the biggest problem with the Celtics is how are these shots really going to be spread out
There are
across the
too many
team? Because they have a
there's
ton
not
of,
enough balls to go around, 100%.
yeah, and it's not like the whole Warriors thing where it's just a ton of all-stars. It's just a lot of players that are scorers, and that's just the biggest problem. Because whenever I was watching the Warriors and Celtics game not too long ago, although they hung in there with the Warriors, blah blah blah, the Celtics' biggest weakness is it's all isolation. Is if Kyrie can't get a shot off, he passes it to Tatum. If Tatum can't get a shot off, he passes it to Morris. For some reason, they have Morris being an isolation guy. If Morris can't, ISO up and do something, it's just a pass ISO, pass ISO. And that's something I've noticed with the Celtics team. Yeah, they might
A
pull
hundred
out some
percent.
nice ball movement plays here and there, but I see a lot of isolation with that team. They need somebody like a. I think they just need to get rid of Brown and Hayward to give these guys a little bit more shots, and I think Jason Tatum is the most untouchable guy on that team.
He's the only untouchable guy in my book. And for me, like,
Right.
I know for a fact that if the Celtics want Kyrie Irving, he will re-sign this summer. So I'm not even including him potentially leaving, right? So Kyrie
Right.
Irving's in the unit. You have Jason Tatum. The guys that are up, Danny Ainge will not let a guy go without getting value in return. Terry Rozier turned down the extension, so he's an unrestricted free agent going into the summer. So they're going to move him, either it's before the deadline or a sign and trade. Once the offseason begins, he's good as gone. So make a move. Get something for Terry Rozier. He's a starting point guard in this league on most teams. So maybe trade him
Yeah.
and get two picks, a first and a second. Maybe someone that's coming off of an expiring contract who's useful. You know, salary cap. Anything that gets you something to make you that much more attractive to the Pelicans, or, you know, just keeping him on the roster and doing a sign and trade. That I do think by the end of the season or by the start of next season, Anthony Davis will be on the Celtics only because they have the better package and the more assets to go and trade around to other teams to accumulate more stuff, whether that's picks or players on expiring deals, to send to New Orleans for him.
And also with Boston, my ideal lineup for Boston is Kyrie, Jason Tatum, Al Horford, Anthony Davis. Those need to be the top four guys. And then they'll be so good if they have the Baines and the Marcus Smarts coming off the bench. If they can get some of those nice just guys that just do their job,
Morris.
then you can then yeah, but you can have Morris in the lineup, or you can have Marcus Smart doing starting shooting guard, whatever. Because Smart doesn't care if he shoots the ball at all. So, like, if you could just slide him in at the shooting guard spot, that's a great starting five. And then if you just have some nice little pieces like Morris and Baines coming off the bench, I mean, that's a total competitor to the Golden State Warriors in my books.
I agree with you, and it should show just by how they were able to play against the Warriors the other day when they lost 115 to 111. I mean, this
Yeah.
team is almost right there, and they pick and choose their games that they want to play, but they're almost there. All right, so before we get done, I want to ask you real quick, who is your NBA Finals matchup this year and who wins?
Celtics Warriors, and I'm gonna go with the Warriors as much as I don't want to say it, but like I honestly think it could be a 6-game series. Like I think a lot of people are
I
thinking at
agree.
this Warriors team. At the beginning of the season, once they got Boogie, we thought it's gonna be a sweep, 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 82-0 type of thing. Like this is gonna be like the Monstars. But then at the same time, I'm like, there could be some problems. I mean, we look at Draymond Green. That dude is not close to anywhere near where he was, and
No.
it's not because of the stars he has. I think, and I said 2 years ago that Draymond Green is just an average role player, and I think now it's really starting to show. The guy, I think his body is just not that great, especially for his position. Like he's a workhorse, but at the same time, like he has some pudding on him, and that's not going to last in a league where you're going up and down the court, especially whenever your role is to be the most tenacious defender in the world. That's just not going to be good on his body. So, I think. And it just seems like this Warriors team kind of gets bored at times. Like it's kind of just like,
Stagnant. They're just playing games, and it's like they forget that they're actually playing legitimate teams.
because they don't have anything to chase after. They
No.
have no chip on their. They don't. And I don't even blame them. They just don't have a chip on their shoulder. Why? Because they're the easy. They've been the favorite for the past 4 years to win the finals. Now, obviously, they haven't won all the 4 years. Blah blah blah. But like, it's. Do you really think that the Warriors, like whenever they got Kevin Durant, were like, "Wow, our team to beat is the Cavs now"? Like, no. Like they've known for the past 3 years that they're going to win the NBA Finals. So I think it's going to be the Warriors, but I'll be really excited to see the Celtics in the finals. I think the NBA is at its best whenever LA, Chicago, New York, and Boston are all good. And right now we have two of the four teams that are, on the rise.
I love it. I said at the beginning of the season, I made a bet with my roommates back in Lexington saying that the Celtics would play the Warriors and the Celtics would win. And that's because I was anticipating Jaylen Brown making a seamless transition with the starting unit and also Gordon Hayward playing a decent role. I had high expectations because I watched Paul George do it. So
Yeah.
for me now, I still believe the Celtics make it to the finals and play the Warriors. And I think that the Celtics do lose in 6 games. But I think that it's a very big attractive point to guys like Anthony Davis, some of these other teams, that even though there's this dysfunction, they still get it together.
Yeah, and I really hope that Gordon Hayward would at least come back to some sort of his level, but this is kind of my theory whenever it comes to like, because people always tell me, well, now Derrick Rose is amazing and everybody doubted him and people were doubting Paul George. Here's the thing about Derrick Rose and Paul George. If they lost 25% of their athletic ability, they're still super athletic.
100%.
Now, if Gordon Hayward loses some athletic ability, he's gonna be very unathletic and he's gonna re have to rely on a lot of skill. I mean, like I just said, if Derrick Rose loses 25% athletic ability, he's still faster than almost everybody in the league. To where now Gordon Hayward doesn't have that, like, he doesn't have that push for his athletic ability matching his skill
Yeah.
set. So it's hard whenever it comes to Gordon Hayward. I think he's a great guy. I have nothing against him, but I mean, without all the whole like sentimental, nostalgia stuff, you have to be 100% honest. The dude, I don't think he's going to get close to 20 points a game, especially if he's going to be like on this very spread out good Celtics team. It's just not going to happen.
I
As
agree,
much as I
man.
hate to say it, it's just facts.
Nah, I agree. All right, Brett, thank you for coming on to the show. It's been fun causing a ruckus with you. Give the fans a little bit of your social info so they know where to go and follow.
All right, so Twitter, you can find me at B-Ball Studios. Instagram, Basketball Studios. There's no periods or no underscores, none of that. And then you can find my podcast that I pretty much have just started going with. I have a co-host. It's called the Basketball Studios Podcast. So I don't think there's the "the" in the title. If you just go on like iTunes or Spotify or any podcast outlet, just type in Basketball Studios Podcast and you'll find it there.
Perfect. All right, man. Well, everyone, you heard it. Go check out Basketball Studios, one of the best pages on Instagram to get your NBA news, catch updates, and just great content overall. Brett, thank you for making an appearance on today's show, man. It's been fun causing a ruckus with you.
I appreciate you having me.
Money isn't real. Doesn't matter. It only seems like it does.